happen to me. Yes, it can. You're seeing 20% of America's population that it has happened to. And I don't care how smart you are. I don't care what you know. If I have 2 weeks with you, I can turn at least one night, the last night, into the darkest evening of the year for you. Because I can get you to share a delusional thought. These guys take longer, but they do it just as well. Limbaugh has been spewing his trash since the 80s. Fox News has been delusional since they started, with Rush Limbaugh's help. He did a reach around for them when they first got started and helped them to have plenty of audience. So there be the truth, guys. We are in the midst of the darkest evening of the year. What shall we do about it? Are we going to go quietly into the darkness? As Dylan Thomas would say, gently into the good night. Or are we going to light a candle? Don't get me wrong. I disagree with the old adage. It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. I don't mind cursing the darkness. I like to see it when I'm cursing at it. And here's a way to curse the darkness with a candle lit. I did this. I have it on my desk. I printed up a piece of paper with a nice official seal on it that says, I do hereby, now and forevermore, state that I do not wish government-controlled socialist health care. And if presented with such, I will give it up immediately. I do not want it for now and forever. By signing this, I agree that this is unrescindable. For now, through perpetuity, I refuse any government socialized health care. And then a place for a signature and a witness. You can make up one of those. It's real simple. And when someone starts doing all that hollering and everything, I hand one over and I said, prove it to me that you don't want it. Sign it. And they do. Believe it or not, they do. Then I take it back and I take it over to my file cabinet. That's under a double lock, so my files are safe from anybody's prying eyes. And I lock it up. Then they have this little half smile on their face like, well, I did something. I proved to him that I didn't want any of that there government socialized medicine. And so I sit down. I say, now, what are you going to do? What do you mean, what I'm going to do? What are you going to do when you retire without any health care? Well, I got health care. I got Medicare coming. No, you don't. You see, that's government-controlled socialized medicine, and you just, for now and forever, oh man, given up your right to have government-controlled socialized medicine. That ain't the same thing. I've been paying for it. You know, somebody always has to pay for it. Anyway, you only pay a part of it. No one ever pays the full cost of what it costs to take care of you with Medicare. So, back to my original question. What are you going to do for insurance when you retire? Well, I got my Medicare. No, I have your Medicare. You've given it up. Give me back that there piece of paper. No. I want that piece of paper. Can't have it. Gee, aren't I evil? I give them back the piece of paper when they admit to me that Medicare is a government program that's put together by your money and taxpayers' money to guarantee you have insurance when you retire. When they admit that to me, I hand it back to them. I don't care how much they yell and scream. They don't get it any other way. course, you can just hand it right over to them. It doesn't matter. But when it starts sinking in, and they really believe, well, it looked official. I must have given up my Medicare. They start to panic. Because guess what, guys? Like I said earlier, I have mine. To hell with you. Got it? They thought they had theirs. Now they think they don't have theirs. It's a beautiful object lesson. And it works every single time. I have yet to have anybody who is adamant about not wanting government-controlled socialized medicine who didn't sign it to prove to me that they were going to sign it. And I haven't had a single one of them that didn't ask for it back when they finally came to the realization that Medicare is government-controlled socialized medicine. It really is sad to look at how dumb they really and truly are. Sometimes it's like trying to hand a monkey a book on Shakespeare and expecting them to get from it what you do. They can't. They don't have the capacity to understand. But when it comes to them losing something they want, that they understand. Make you up a nice little form. When they start hollering about not wanting any of that government socialized medicine, let them prove it. Be prepared to give it back. Some of the people I've done that to has got really, really close to violence. I still won't give it back. I even say, you know, if you get violence, you're never going to get it back. That usually calms them down. The tears start to flow. They start getting really afraid, like, you know, that's really going to work, but why not? Let's think about this for 1 second, guys. What if the congressman put something out there? You guys don't want government-controlled socialized medicine, right? No, we don't want that. Here, sign this piece of paper saying you don't want it.
Okay, I'll sign it.
Okay, when I get back to Washington, we're going to put a law together that will accept these as your refusal to accept Medicaid. Or Medicare when you retire. Because without Medicare, under the system it has today, Medicaid kicks in to make sure that you get medical treatment in the case that you don't have Medicare. So, this has given up any chance for the future, forever and ever, of you having Medicare or Medicaid. If they did that, this stuff would stop. Because once they held out that paper and say, sign this if you really don't want it, they can no longer shout, we don't want government-controlled socialized medicine. They can't say it. You've just called their bluff. Either they sign it to prove they don't want it, or they shut up about it. Guys, look, when you're dealing with really stupid people, it's really simple to get the upper hand. You just have to quit trying to reason with them. Because reason doesn't work with the stupid. Sometimes the bull needs a baseball bat upside of its head to keep from trying to gorge you with its horns. Okay? Because they're kind of stupid and they're kind of mean. And when you have mean, stupid people, metaphorically, you need a good baseball bat. And to call their bluff on this will shut them up. It's not hard to outthink the stupid. Think about it, guys. Just think about it. Here we are. Are we going to sit back silently allowing this insanity to continue because we are afraid of them? Or are we going to stand up and fight against the insanity? Not with weapons, not with actual fists, with the truth. I presented one way that we could actually have a very visual, a very vocal, a very well-seen way of fighting peacefully for September the 4th, 2009, for everybody to show up in Washington and close the streets. Ran into some roadblocks before we got to the roadblocks, but we'll deal with that next hour. And we will deal with that, for sure. But for now, we're here, stranded in the darkest evening of the year. Got to make a decision. What are we going to do about it? I will continue the good fight. You do what suits you best. You're at Rick's Place, here at Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. You may contact me at rickgoodner@gmail.com. Also, I'm on Facebook. If you want to become a fan of the show, Rick's Place with Rick Goodner, Facebook. Be happy to see you there. Take a little pee-pee break. Relax. I'll be back in just a few minutes here at Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
You're listening to Rick's Place on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. Hang in there, Rangers. We're fixing to be right back.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. He's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here on the Horn Head On Radio Network. Make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shear.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play it, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Does that make me crazy?
Welcome back, Rangers, to Rick's Place. Now, here's the number one ranger, the proprietor of Rick's and Horn's psychotherapist, Rick Goodner.
Welcome back, Rangers. This is Rick Goodner, and you're at Rick's Place here at Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. As I promised the last hour, I'm going to touch on Friday, September the 4th, 2009. I mentioned it last week. My concept at that time was very simple. Everybody that wanted to guarantee that we get health care, those that wants to see George Bush prosecuted for his crimes, those that want to make sure that the Iraq war ends, those who want to make some changes in America, all come together at one time so that the people that we put in office will understand that we are there to make sure that they keep their word, which they're not doing. Right now they think they have us sitting in a corner chewing on a bone that they have thrown to us. And if we all show up in mass, if we're willing to wear a red bandana that says, I'm for labor and you really did us in. If you're willing to show up with a white bandana that says, I'm for quality health care, and we don't trust you're going to do what you're supposed to do, we want to let you know that we're here and we're shutting down the streets and you will do what you were sent to do or you will not return. Those that wants to see Bush actually prosecuted for his crimes, they could wear a yellow bandana to represent his yellow stripe down his back. Those that wants the Iraq war to end, blue. Blue bandana around your neck. Marching to let everybody know you're on your way. You're going to hold them accountable. You sent them with an agenda. You hear all these right-wing people, well, Obama has an agenda. Well, hell yeah, he does. He's supposed to. He doesn't, but he's supposed to. The agenda is our agenda. That's why we elected him.
and the rest of the members of Congress. They should have an agenda, and the agenda should be our agenda. But no, they want the conservative agenda. They want the banker's money. They want health care's money. They want big petroleum's money. And they want to make sure that they're reelected again. And that's all they give a damn about. And so my concept was very simple. Once they see us there en masse closing down Washington, they would understand that they are being watched. They would understand that they have to make a change in what they are doing to make sure that they do what they were sent there to do. Not a bad idea, you have to admit. I called on other personality at Head On, Bob and John and such, to kind of kick in and mention this and help carry it along. Called on my friends out there to send it to their friends and get things moving. I received one email from one friend, one ranger, who sent this around to everybody she knows. Just one person. Just one person got involved and started doing something to help us fix this mess that the conservative Democrats have got us into in Washington. Only one. And of the people she sent to, none can go to Washington. The ones that replied her said, well, I'd love to, but I've got some problems. Well, you see, I'm of a different generation and a different mindset. Back in the 60s, if somebody would have said, let's close Washington down, there would have been millions of cars headed in that direction. Those that didn't have cars would have carpooled. Those who could not get a carpool would have hitchhiked. Don't hitchhike, guys. There's too many nuts out there now looking for people to victimize. But it would have been done. And Washington would have been shut down. People wouldn't have said, well, I've got the kids' baseball practice. I can't go. People wouldn't have said, I don't have the money. I can't go. Okay. Perhaps those are good reasons not to. I'm going to accept that they are. And let's say things haven't been talked up because I didn't make it clear enough. I wasn't succinct, and I got a cat running around the house going crazy. When I start to yell, they start to go crazy. So maybe that's why others at Head On decided not to pay any attention, or else they decided, Rick, it's really a stupid idea, which is okay. A suggestion was made that maybe we have these meetings at the state capitol. I don't know about other states. I do know that if you go from the furthest corner of Texas to Austin, the state capitol, it's the same as going from the most eastern part, northeastern part of Texas to Washington, D.C. So it's still a gigantic amount of miles to travel, and it still costs money. So let's don't make this a hardship on anybody. We wouldn't want anybody to find that they had a hardship, would we? We still need a strike day. We still need a day. And look, I'm a bit perturbed here. Because it isn't just this one rejection to the idea of action, of really doing something to show America who you are. It was a number of different things. So I would like to suggest that what we can do as a group is have strike day. Do not go to work on September the 4th, 2009. Strike for that one day. Call it an early, well, what do you want to call it? An early three-day holiday. If your kids go out and do things. Now, you probably don't want to put a bandana on to let somebody know that you're actually supporting something. So why don't you hang the bandana on your door? How's that? How is that? I still want to suggest that you don't buy anything that day. No gasoline, no food, nothing. Don't use electricity in your house except for what you need to run the computer. If you don't feel safe with candles, use one light each room. I use night lights. That day, I won't use that. I will use candles, nicely scented candles. It's going to be nice. I won't leave them unoccupied. It'll be good. I will not turn on the TV. I will not watch anything that has a commercial. So any commercials that are bought and paid for that day, the money goes wasted. That would be a nice statement to corporations, wouldn't it? And in turn, it's a nice statement to our congressman and our president. Would it not be? A general strike. You buy nothing, you use nothing, and those of you overseas do the same for us. Buy nothing American that day. Not anything. Stand with us. Help us out. That's my request. We don't go and shut down Washington because that would be an inconvenience. Now, here's the reason why I'm sounding sarcastic. I mentioned to a friend of mine the idea of just going ahead and going with cutting off electricity and gas in your house and not using it for that day, turn off the TV, don't watch anything that has a commercial, and the person said, that's not going to work. Why? Well, he explained it to me, and he's right. People are not going to want to watch Dances with Idiots. American Idiots. Who wants to be a zero brain? Boring Factor. My friend is right, because nobody wants to miss their television shows. So, perhaps this will be a protest of one person, two, maybe three. Perhaps it'll be a protest of 3 million. Perhaps 300 million. But I don't think so. The mental capacity of people in America is at the point that they can only watch TV and function in the world. And if they were to turn it off for one solid day, who knows, they may start growing brain cells. Wouldn't that be a disaster? They could actually start thinking. Then they'd start seeing the problems in the world. And then they'd start thinking there has to be a solution to it. Fine. I'm sorry that this really upsets me. But if we don't stand together, we will hang separately. One of our liberal founding fathers said that. And it's so hard to get people to hang together when their competing interests is more important than the whole of society. So, let's give it a try. Let's go ahead and try for strike day, September the 4th, 2009. Don't use any electricity except what it takes to run your computer so you can stay up on the news. Don't watch any TV that has commercials. Don't buy anything. Don't go anywhere where you have to pay. Spend time with your children. Talk to them about the importance of the cause that you believe in. With the television off, they will listen to you. They will listen to your stories. With the television off, you will find that you can communicate for one day. And those of you that are brave enough that wants to wear your bandana out, and you're asked by somebody, wow, what does that represent? Tell them, I'm on strike today, and this represents my desire to see health care enacted. This represents my desire to see the war in Iraq ended. This represents my passion to demand that George Bush is tried as a war criminal. Or stay at home and read a good book. Strike, do something. Please, do something. We cannot expect our elected officials to do what's right when they know deep in their heart that they're not being watched. When they know deep in their heart that you're still going to vote for them. When they know deep in their hearts that you don't have the passion of your convictions to put yourself in a situation where you may be inconvenienced. Our leaders know what they can get away with. I'm going to keep talking this up. I know my friends, a couple, will keep talking this up. I hope the rest of y'all join us. I hope the rest of the people at the horn join us. I hope that we can actually get something moving. I hope that we can hold our elected officials accountable. I hope. That is the statement of my life. On my tombstone, they can put that. He of too much hope. I'm naive that way. I hope that people will stand up and take charge of their life and their government and demand the best from both. But then reality sets in. And things become despondent. To the point that I sometimes wonder why even try. When you can't get those that you think you can really rely on to help themselves, what's the use? What indeed is the use? The use for me is that I'm a man, and I am going to stand, and I'm going to stand strong, and I am going to strike on September the 4th, 2009. That Friday, I will not go to work. That Friday, I will not use electricity except what it takes for the computer. That Friday, there will be no commercials watched on TV because there is no TV to watch except commercials. I will purchase nothing that day. And if I am lucky enough to have a friend or a relative with me that day, I will count myself immensely lucky. But in all likelihood, I will be here by myself, striking by myself. Prove me wrong. Email me and tell me that you're going to strike. Email me and tell me that you're going to stand in solidarity to let your congressman know that we are disappointed with their lack of action to let the president know that he cannot count on our vote in 2012 unless he does something. He won't get mine at all. He's already betrayed me to the point that I won't vote for him. Let your kids know that there is something that you believe in with such passion that you'll miss American idiots. Okay? Do something for your children. Strike. Do something for yourself. Strike. Do something for America. Strike. Do something. Or forever hold your peace. If you're not willing to put out the effort, you have no right to complain. From September the 4th throughout eternity, keep your mouth shut unless you're willing to stand up and do something. Sorry I'm so disappointed. I really expected a little more than what I received. I watched the anti-war movement. They're going in 1,000 different directions. None of it's orchestrated like it was the Vietnam War protest. Everybody's going in their own little direction. I watched the people who are yelling that Bush should get prosecuted going in their own direction. I watch Code Pink. I watch the people who want the environment taken care of going in their direction. I watch America saying we need health care going in their direction. If you put it all together, you have a gigantic voice. If you don't put it all together, you have Rick sitting around wondering, when in the hell can I get over with this? When is closing time? You know, I was going to come back here and make nice and be sweet and close us out real gently, but I don't really feel like it. So, good night. Hope you enjoy the music. See you next week.
Yeah. I've been abused, I've been cheated, and I've been used. They said that I'm no good. Heart stone cold, black and blue, reminders of the shit they put me through. Lord, it's getting old. Time to show myself the door. There's no pretending anymore. No, it's over. Where I'm going, I don't know. Somewhere down this dusty road, north on 441. The rolling cattle fields, the trailer parks, and rusted cotton mills. Lord, get me out of here. I've made up my mind. Not giving in this time, no.
Goodbye. said to me, pack your bags, it's time to leave. Okay, don't ask those stupid questions why. And you can't deny the things you said and all the times you tried to leave. And excuse me, what are you thinking of what you can define and all that you left to stay is a paper thin romance. So now I found a friend who will love me more than you ever did. And can you handle it? It's in your face and you can't replace what's evident. You should get over it. Excuse me, what are you thinking of what you can define?
and my mind goes blank. I've been abused, but now my life feels great. Cause lies really only get us so far. You do it so much, it becomes who we are. I can't sleep at night and I got the shakes. They say people gotta learn from their own mistakes. My life's like a book with so many chapters. You live then you die, then nothing really matters. Making love to someone you don't care about, cause in the end, you're just another sellout. And I'm your ruining, and I'm your fantasy, and I'm your suicide. Thank God it's over. If I truly exist, I can't keep living like this. And days get colder, and the sky turns deep into gray. Love my life, slip away. Love my
misunderstood. speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before. I will speak no more. I shall.
Been listening to Rick's Place. Sorry, Rangers. It is indeed closing time. Thanks for stopping by. See you all next week, where everyone comes to Rick's. That'll be all. Be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Rick Goodner, part of the Weekend Wrecking Crew. I'm here to tell you that you cannot miss Billy Shears. The man knows his music. The man knows what you're thinking. Tune in and listen. You'll be surprised. He's going to play the very song that you were thinking that you needed to hear. He's a genius. Maybe a bit psychic. I promise you. Tune in on the weekend, listen to Billy Shears Night Sounds, and you will hear the song you've been waiting to hear. And you'll enjoy your time as much as I do. Right here, on the Horn, Head On Radio Network. Thank you. make sure you don't miss what you've been waiting to hear with Billy Shearer.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Play, Sam. Play as time goes by.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
A creed written into the founding documents that declare the destiny of a nation. Yes, we can.
Change will not come if we wait for some other person. A house divided cannot stand. Or if we wait for some other time.
Hope is what led a band of colonists to rise up against an empire.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Millions of Americans have been knocked down.
In America, there is no chasm too deep.
This is a time as Americans together.
No barrier too great.
We get back up.
No ceiling too high.
Back up together.
We are not as divided as our politics suggest.
I'm here for the cops and the firefighters.
And we are one people. We are one nation.
The teachers and the assembly line workers.
And together, we will begin the next great chapter in the American story.
Thank you. God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
Brothers, sisters, working class heroes, this is the Rick Smith Show. Glad you could be here. What a week it has been. The fireworks are going. All of this feigned outrage, all of this manufactured protesting that's going on, all of these groups funding these insaniacs to run out and cause strife. Look, you know, there are some very angry people in this country, and anger is one thing that I understand. I get it. We've been talking about anger on this program for the past several years. And my question to a lot of these folks who seem to have this newfound outrage is, where have you been? Where have you been for the last 8 years when we saw the death of habeas corpus, when we saw the Constitution ripped to shreds, when we saw the death of Posse Comitatus, when we saw people drowning in a major U.S. city? Where have you been? Where were you when we lost $8 billion somewhere in Iraq? Nobody knows where. On pallets, $8 billion just disappeared. Nobody bothered. Nobody cared about that. Nobody cared that we've lost thousands of lives in Iraq for no reason at all. Where were you, folks? Where was the outrage? And now, somehow, since a big think tank and some big corporate lobbyists have thrown a bunch of money your way, now you're outraged? Wow. If that's all it takes is a couple of bucks to buy this kind of outrage, Jake, I think we should have learned a long time ago.
If you noticed, Rick, there's a real pattern here to this, these so-called outrages. Now, I want to, just like you, first up front say, hey, yes, there's some very legitimate questions that people are concerned, and they have a right to. The problem is where you find that these people showed up in mass numbers, they were bussed in from out of the area, and they shouted down everybody. Their objection wasn't to find out the answers to some tough questions. Their objective wasn't to engage in an intelligent conversation. It was to shut the process down. And invariably, Rick, we find when you look at who organized it, they're direct ties to the insurance industry.
Yep. Anyway, today on the program, we're going to talk to Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress about this, this well-organized, well-funded campaign to destroy healthcare reform in this country. And, you know, who's behind it? And really, who's behind it is the people who are currently profiting from our dysfunctional system, the ones that we're paying. Also in the second hour, Eric Epstein, business agent for the Central Dauphin Bus Drivers Association. He's going to be here talking about the what appears to be the Central Dauphin School District's attempt to privatize their busing operation and bust their union. So we're going to talk to him a little bit. And also in the second hour, Republican Congressman Todd Platts. We're going to be talking about the 340 jobs that are being stolen from this area by Jackson, Tennessee. And also I'm going to talk to him about health care and a couple other things that will pop up. But what's important to understand is this past week, and I don't know if you've heard about this memo, there's a memo out there that pretty much goes through how you disrupt this stuff. It's the how to destroy, how to shut down, how to disrupt, and it's a step-by-step shut down the Democratic town hall meeting thing. That's all it's about. And the memo says activists should stand up and shout out and then sit right back down so that you make the representative feel uncomfortable. And you knock him off his game. And you rattle him early. And the idea is to get him on the defensive and then scream loud enough so nobody can hear him. And these town hall meetings have really disintegrated into nasty scenes. As Politico points out, of screaming constituents, protesters dragged out by cops, and congressmen fearful for their safety. We've had congressmen get death threats over this stuff. And what I say to this is, hey, mission accomplished. These right-wing groups, these well-funded, well-organized right-wing groups, they have gotten every penny of their money's worth. And you look at what happened with Chris Dodd at his meeting. Somebody yelled, why don't we just give Chris Dodd painkillers for his cancer and let him die? Maybe you can wash it down with Ted Kennedy's whiskey. Is this the kind of conversation we want to have about health care? You got Republican Representative Todd Akin saying, you know what, Congress almost got lynched, and that's a good thing. Lynched. That word was used for a very specific reason, because the racists in the room got it. This whole movement. Have you looked at some of these videos? How many non-white people do you see in these audiences? Very, very few. And I would venture to say that the ones that are there are on somebody's payroll. Look, folks, this is all about the lobbyists. This is all about the insurance industry. This is all about these think tanks like Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works. These AstroTurf groups, these fake grassroots organizations, Conservatives for Patients' Rights, led by a guy who was a former healthcare executive. In fact, got himself into a whole bunch of trouble for fraud. So when you look at this stuff, you ask, who benefits? Well, who benefits is big insurance companies. You know, according to the Washington Post, industry lobbyists are, quote, hoping to limit the damage to their bottom line. That's what this is about. This is about how much profit, how much money the investor class is going to get. And what's amazing to me, and I know I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, Jay Gould was right. He could easily pay half the nation to kill the other half. And you look at these meetings, again, it's not about health care. It's not about how do we make health care affordable, accessible, cradle to grave. It's none of that. It's about how do we shut down the system? How do we maintain the status quo for the very few who are benefiting? And I would venture to say that the majority of the people who are in the room protesting probably don't have the greatest health care in the world either, and that they're exposed and don't even know it. That's what's frustrating to me. It's that they don't even realize how precarious their situation is, how much trouble they could get in with just one illness. And to me, that's the important part here. And it's a lot of senior citizens as well. Oh, they're gonna kill me. Nonsense.
Rick, you hit the nail on the head when you said kill me. I literally saw an email, and this is unbelievable. A man who was head of a bus tour, and this bus tour was funded by one of these right-wing organizations that have direct ties to the healthcare industry. He actually made a comparison. What's happening now in America and Obama's healthcare plan? He brought up the fact that under Stalin there were 20 million Russians killed. Under Pol Pot, and he actually said this, there were 2 million Cambodians killed, and then he mentioned Adolf Hitler and the millions of people that he killed, and he says, I wonder what's going to happen in America next. Now, what kind of inference is that? But yet, those are the extreme scare tactics that they're using.
But that's all they have, Jake. That's it. That's all they've got. Fear and smear. That's it. There's no discourse. There's no plan. The Republicans haven't even put out a plan. There's nothing. There is nothing there. They are the party of no. They are the party of the status quo. They are very happy. Look, the people who fund their campaigns are very happy with the way things are. So if the people who fund the campaigns are happy, the politician is happy. And he is going to fight to keep those coffers open. So the question is, how do we fight back? How do we stop this? Well, the important thing is we talk about healthcare. We talk about the reform of health insurance. We talk about what's going to happen if we don't have some change. What's the status quo look like? Well, the status quo looks like healthcare costs doubling again in the next 10 years. That's what we have to talk about. And we're going to do that today. 1-877-960-0960. We're right back after this with Igor Volsky.
Don't let us get stupid, all right. Just make us be brave, make us play nice. Let us be together tonight.
Thought-provoking, intelligent conversation with a heart. The voice of the working class. Rick Smith.
Show 1-877-960-0960. Remember, check out the website at therickSmithShow.com. And a new post on her Facebook account, Quitter Governor Sarah Palin made a dire statement about health care reform, saying that if Obama's plan is created, they would be killing her infant son with Down syndrome. I got to tell you, for a woman who says, leave my family out of this, she sure does interject her family an awful lot. But what this tells me is, look, nothing's sacred to this woman or to this party at all. They are going to use whatever fear, smear, whatever hate tactics they can come up with to deny you any reform in healthcare whatsoever. We've all seen the emails. They're going to kill Granny! Abortions on demand! Anything to get people whipped up into a frenzy. And I got to tell you, not only is it disgusting, it's angering. It's something that I got to tell you, Jake, just frustrates me to no end. And that's why I've asked Igor Volsky to come on the program. He works over at the Center for American Progress. AmericanProgress.org is their website. Igor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Rick.
You know, I look at what's going on here right now, this well-funded, well-organized campaign to promote this feigned outrage. And I got to tell you, how do we stop it?
Well, Rick, you know, I think it's been very encouraging the Democratic Congress people who have been targeted by these corporate-funded front groups like Americans for Prosperity and FreedomWorks have doubled down and said that no way are these guys going to keep us down. We support reform, and we even support a public option. Representative Doggett, who, you know, infamously was chased out of that parking lot by these so-called volunteers went on CNN and MSNBC. He made the rounds and he said, you know, I'm not going to be stopped by people like this. I'm going to continue promoting, talking, and discussing about what I think will control costs and improve access for Americans. But I think, you know, if they're organizing, so should we, to get directly to your question. And it's very encouraging to see groups like HCAN and others showing up in force at these town hall meetings, not disrupting, not yelling, as these other volunteers are, but you know, starting to have a conversation and showing these elected officials that many Americans support the, you know, larger tenets of Obama's reforms. We see that in the polls, and it's very good to see groups on the pro-reform side now take to town halls and make sure that these representatives know that they shouldn't back down and they can't back down, because Americans support this reform despite what we're seeing now in the press.
Well, you know, I look at a lot of these meetings, for instance, and I've been seeing reports that, you know, the most vocal people there are really not volunteers. They're people that were on paid staff. They were transplants. They were people who were planted there specifically to disrupt the meeting, to follow this memo that's out there to on how to disrupt these meetings. And can you talk a little bit about this? Because what's frustrating is I talk to people who see mainstream media, and they say, well, look, you know, the people are angry. The people are shutting these meetings down. And I'm going, no, this stuff is, it's orchestrated. This is a very well thought out, well-funded plan.
Absolutely, and it's sad to see that the Republican Party, specifically the Texas Republican Party, is encouraging such behavior. They're posting these videos on their official websites. But, you know, I think if we remember back to the tail end of the 2008 presidential campaign, when Sarah Palin called, said President Obama was palling around with terrorists, and several of McCain's town halls were disrupted by protesters, or rather, you know, by people saying that Obama is a terrorist or he's somehow associated with terrorists, that they cultivated this kind of fear, this kind of paranoia back in 2008, that this was part of their strategy of calling them a socialist, so on and so forth. And now we see this kind of, you know, this astroturf, fake grassroots, the very right wing of American society come out in full force against healthcare. It's been very interesting to see that kind of transition, what we saw in the election now transforming its way in the form of, you know, the Glenn Beck activists, so on and so forth. But you're right, you point to the memo, and then this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to disrupt. They're not trying to have a civil conversation about policy. And, you know, I think it's important to make the distinction that we want to make sure that there's democratic debate and discussion about healthcare. It's a large reform. We want to know how we're going to go about making sure that people have access to healthcare. There are many options on the table, and we should be able to have a conversation, but there's a difference between having a civil conversation about policy and screaming buzzwords and bumper stickers at representatives. And unfortunately, this group of kind of, you know, paranoid right-wing volunteers, so-called volunteers, who are radicalized by the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, aren't interested in any kind of democratic conversation. They're interested in improving the system. They're interested in defeating Obama politically.
And defending the status quo for the corporations, the Wall Street people who are really profiting wildly from this dysfunctional system that we have.
That's right. It's important to know that these groups like Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Works that are funding these efforts do have a lot of funding from large corporations, including the insurers. Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. You know, I know you probably get the same emails I get. These crazy far out emails. They're gonna take Granny out, and you know, they're gonna make her drink the mystical cocktail that's gonna kill her. We're gonna have abortions on demand at any time during pregnancy. So like I asked the guys when my wife and I went to the hospital to have our child, did we have a choice right there at that moment, live or die right there? And he honestly believed yes. That's what Obama is proposing. Are you as frustrated by these emails as I am?
I am incredibly frustrated, and over at the center, we're spearheading an effort of debunking. I think one email had some 70 or 170 claims about Obama's health care plan. We're debunking them one by one. But this will require more than just debunking, because these kinds of attacks, these kinds of criticisms have great emotional appeal, and they found their genesis, back in the 30s and the 60s when we saw the introduction of Medicare and Medicaid. Republicans were making the same kinds of arguments. But just to debunk them for a second, when you hear Republicans talk about the government now making end-of-life decisions and coming to your house to tell you how you're going to die, again, all you have to do is read the legislation. There is now, for the first time, Medicare will cover end-of-life counseling, where if you choose, if a senior chooses to write a living will or to be told about the choices that are available, if they're at the end of their life, then they can talk to a doctor or to a nurse, a trained nurse, a nurse practitioner, about this, and that kind of counseling service will be paid for by Medicare. That's all it is. It's a voluntary choice.
Yeah, but the right wingers get a hold of it. Oh, they're telling Granny to kill herself. They're going to move her to Oregon where she can have assisted suicide. That's the kind of nonsense I'm hearing. And it comes down to this mentality of, well, I believe what I believe, and the facts be damned.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to fight against, absolutely. And that's why, again, I'm happy to see activists on the pro-reform side, telling people that this isn't about killing your grandmother. This is about making sure your grandmother has access to health care. So I think it's up to us to organize them. It's up to us to make sure that we expose the practices of insurance companies, rescission, denial of pre-existing conditions, denial of coverage if you have a pre-existing condition, so on and so forth. And we can do it because we have the numbers. The facts are on our side, and the American people are on our side. So now it's up to us to organize, and it's up to us to call our congressperson, and it's up to us to make sure that while the representatives are in their August recess and in their districts, that we let them know that we want health care reform, because, Rick, between August recess and Labor Day, about 500,000 Americans will lose their health insurance coverage. So this is real for everyone in this country, and we have to out-organize this kind of astroturf effort that we now see, that's organized by corporations and by the Republican Party.
Well, let me ask you this, because one of the things that's frustrating to me is that the Democrats seem to always be behind the eight ball. They always seem to be fighting from behind. And this stuff, you could see this Tea Party stuff building. You knew it was coming. You knew this August recess was the battleground. And yet now we're already a week into it before we're even talking about how do we organize. That's what's frustrating to me.
It is frustrating, but I will try to assuage your fears and let you know that there are groups like Healthcare for America Now, Americans United, that are spreading to town halls and are bringing the pro-reform message. So that is happening in the districts. And again, I agree with you. We should have been doing this faster. We should have been doing this sooner. We should have been better organized. But I think I would also point to, it's a lot easier for the opposition to scream about kind of what they perceive to be these made up consequences of reform than it is oftentimes to defend the specifics of legislation. Right. We should be doing a better job, but I think it's heartening to know that there is a grass this time in 2009, unlike when Clinton tried to do this, there are grassroots organizations that are doing this very thing, taking the message to these districts, to the Congress people and to America at large.
That and the suffering has gotten that much, much greater. Can you mind taking a phone call quick?
Sure.
We got Helen on line one. How are you doing today, Helen?
Hi, I'm fine. I just wanted to tell people, I'm 63 years old. I'm on Social Security disability, and I got myself one of those living will things that do not resuscitate when I go into the hospital. And the doctors are always, no matter what, they're telling me, even though I have a very bad disease, multiple sclerosis, and it's getting worse, they always try to talk me out of it. And, the socialized medicine is Social Security. That is the public option. And this nonsense, I've got a relative who's close to 80, and they just gave her a new hip and all kinds of things, and she's been in a healthcare facility, and this is not happening. I just want to, you know, back up what you're saying.
I appreciate it, Helen. Any thoughts on that, Igor?
Well, Helen's absolutely right when she says that socialized medicine is Social Security, it's Medicare, and that's the public option. We know that Americans are very happy with Medicare. They get better care more efficiently, and they're more satisfied. So these buzzwords of socialized medicine, they're used to provoke fear, but I think for the millions of Americans who are on Medicare, they're quite happy. And if you look at the town halls, I remember at one of the town halls, people started shouting up against socialism and government takeover of health care, and then the representative said, well, how many of you have Medicare? And the same hands went up. So people have to make that link between socialized medicine equals Medicare, and Medicare equals an efficient quality system that most Americans are happy with.
That's a good point. We got about 30 seconds left. I wanted to, the last thing, what do you think we're going to see in the coming weeks? Do you think that we're going to see a debate, or will this just degrade into now two sides just shouting at each other and nothing getting done until the representatives come back?
Well, you know, the skeptic in me certainly thinks the latter. It's going to be hard for us to kind of diffuse the degeneration of debate that we've seen as of late. But I'm hoping that when Congress comes back and we refocus on what matters, and that's getting a bill out of the Senate, out of that damn Senate Finance Committee, that we will, by the end of this year, pass reform, pass some kind of public option, and so I think again at this period when the Congress people are home, it's up to us to make sure that they know that the American people want to see a public option, good affordability standards, good subsidies so that we can afford coverage. And we have to put the pressure on our representatives. We have to write to them. We have to talk to them. We have to make sure we out-organize these screamers. It's up to us. We can complain as much as we want, but if we don't do anything, at the end of the day, they'll win, and this time we just can't let them win.
Good point. Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress. AmericanProgress.org is the website. Igor, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Great. Thank you, Rick.
We're going to take a break. We're right back after this.
In 1927, 800 miners in the captive company town of Rossiter, located in Pennsylvania's Indiana County, joined a nationwide bituminous coal miner strike. From the start, Judge Jonathan Langham began issuing the most drastic injunctions imaginable against the workers and their union, the United Mine Workers of America. These injunctions prohibited miners from taking part in any picketing, marching, assembly for meetings and rallies, posting of signs, or giving any type of aid or comfort to the striking miners or their families. The miners were even prohibited from putting ads in the newspaper. The most outrageous of Langham injunctions received national attention. Judge Jonathan Langham ruled that workers were prohibited from holding prayer services and singing of hymns, described as hostile songs, at the Magyar Presbyterian Church, which was the only property in town not owned by the Clearfield Bituminous Coal Corporation. Striking miners were evicted from their company-owned homes and forced to live in tent colonies. Conditions were so poor that nearly one out of every 10 babies died at birth. Reports of these deplorable conditions were the basis of a U.S. Senate investigation into the conditions of the coal fields in company towns in Pennsylvania. The investigations were led by New York Senator Robert Wagner, who later sponsored the bill creating the National Labor Relations Act, otherwise known as the Wagner Act of 1935. Senator Wagner said of the conditions he found, quote, "Had I not seen it myself, I would not have believed that in the United States there were large areas where civil government was supplanted by a system that can only be compared with ancient feudalism." The sacrifices by these workers and fights for democracy by the Rossiter citizens helped change the social and political attitudes for the century to follow. It was these deadly fights and grave sacrifices by those who came before that allow us to live so well today. The tombstone of one of such worker reads, "40 years I worked with pick and drill down in the mine against my will. The coal king's slave, but now it's past. Thanks be to God, I am free at last." This Rick Smith Show Labor History Moment was made possible by a grant from the Labor Education Center at IUP. For more information, visit www.therickSmithShow.com.
Finally, radio for the rest of us. It's time for the Rick Smith Show. The phone lines are open.
877-960-0960 or email rick@thericksmithshow.com. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
Francis Schaeffer, the son of the late Francis Schaeffer, the, you know, the guy who gave us the radical Christian right movement, he saw the political power in organizing followers. And his son has written this piece over at Alternet, and I think it's worth talking about because this is a guy who was right there during all of the rise of the Christian right. The organizing of followers, and they use that word as something very important because they understand that people who, and this is not a bad thing, but they understand the people who are into religion tend to be followers. And if you can organize them into a political base, you can get them to do pretty much anything you want them to do as long as you couch it in terms of religion. And they got that. And we've unveiled the curtain. We now know that to be the case. And now people of good religious conscience can vote based on issues and not what on religious leaders are telling them. And this guy writes this piece, and it's a great piece. I suggest you go over to Alternet and read it, but I wanted to go through a little bit of it. He writes, the Republican old guard are in a fix, and atheists would be in if Jesus showed up and raised his mother from the dead. Their worldview has just been shattered. Obama's election has driven them over the edge. He goes on to write, having failed at the ballot box, having watched their Fox News organized tea parties fizzle, the intimidation tactics which the Republicans have embraced are being used in a well-financed, top-down, orchestrated fake grassroots campaign by corporate interests that try to protect the profits of insurance business. Dick Armey's Freedom Works is organized against health care reform. Armey's lobbying firm represents pharmaceutical companies like Bristol Myers Squibb. Army's lobbying firm also represents the trade group for the life insurance industry. Freedom Works is supporting the status quo at all costs. So let me say that again. They are representing the status quo. They are supporting the status quo. He writes, goes on to say, Freedom Works represents a top-down, corporate-friendly approach. That's been the norm for conservative organizations for years. And he goes on to say, how do I know this is the norm? Because I used to have strategy meetings with the late Jack Kemp and Dick Armey and the rest of the Republican gang about using their business ties to help finance the pro-life movement to defeat Democrats. I know the script, he says. I helped write it. He goes on to say, Democratic members of Congress are being harassed by angry sign-carrying mobs and disruptive behavior at local town hall meetings. It's the tactic we used to follow abortion providers around their neighborhood. Protesters surrounded Representative Tim Bishop and forced police officers to escort him to his car for safety. We used the same tactics to Dr. Tiller until someone killed him. And I got to tell you, you know, we're seeing death threats to congressmen already. And I'm worried, you know. I got to tell you, there's part of me that's worried about this. And he goes on to write, how can the right stoop so low? How could Dick Armey stoop so low as to be organizing what amounts to America's brown shirts today? Now, remember, this is a guy whose father founded the Christian right. This is a conservative guy who's woke up and said, look, folks, we're in big trouble in this country. The well-funded groups who really have lost their will. All it's about is the money. And here's the part that I find most true in his statement. I think I know what happened to him. He's talking about Dick Armey. Gingrich and the rest. They can't compute that their white, man-led conservative revolution is dead. They can't reconcile that their ideas of themselves with the fact that white men like them don't run this country anymore and never will. To them, the black president is leading a column of the other into the promised land. Gays, immigrants, blacks, progressives, even female Hispanic appointed to the Supreme Court. For them, this is the apocalypse. This is the end of the world for conservatives. And he's right. And what he fears is that what they're doing now is the old Nazi scorched earth policy. They can't win. They can't. They've been driven mad by their reversal. Not just their political fortunes, he writes, but of seeing that they've wasted their lives. They know that they were wrong about the country, the free market, war for fun and profit, and what the American people really want. So they're going to follow a scorched earth policy. If we can't win, then everybody must go down. Obama must fail. The country must fail. And you hear that time and time again. Rush Limbaugh, I want Obama to fail. The policies are failing. All we hear from the Republicans is, you know, they're failing. And he says the last Republican tactic, the last thing that they have, are outright lies. He writes, a barrage of outright lies, wherein the Democrats are being accused of wanting to launch a massive euthanasia program against the elderly, free abortions for everyone, and a government takeover of health care is now being combined with physical intimidation that in several cases has required police escorts to protect pro-health care reform speakers surrounded by angry plants sent to disrupt public forums on health care issues. He goes on to say there is no light of day. Now, this is important. There's no light of day between the Republican Party, the health insurance industry, and far-right leaders like Dick Armey, the legion of insurance lobbyists, and now this small army of thugs. All we're missing now are actual uniforms. Otherwise, we would have a full-blown American version of Nazi brown shirts. And he goes on to say, no, he doesn't believe that this is about taking over the country. It's not, the sky isn't falling. But he does say the Republican Party is, as it is right now, profoundly anti-American. And I think most Republicans need to take a look at their party. And I've said this before, take your party back. The crazies have taken over. When Pat Toomey goes on TV and says, I am center-right, one of the most right-wing conservatives ever in the House of Representatives, when he says that he is center-right, how far has the center moved to the right in his mind? And when the media doesn't, when our corporate-controlled, for-profit media doesn't bother to call him on that and say, wait a minute, your views are pretty radical compared to mainstream America, and they let him get away with that, there's a serious problem.
Actually, and this harkens back to 2006, the campaign to defeat Rick Santorum, actually, he's to the right on Santorum sub-issues, and that's scary. Now, if I can make one quick comment about the man you're talking about, I saw his entire interview, Rick, and one of the last things he said was really chilling. He said, if someone tries to kill the president or some people in the progressive movement are killed, those in the right who incited it will say, well, we didn't tell him to do that. Hands off. But actually, they've planted the seed, and they are responsible to a large degree as the individual who will try to kill the president or someone involved. And that could happen, and that would be catastrophic.
And here again, we go back to the Turner Diary scenario. We go back to the reason Timothy McVeigh, a right-winger, blew up the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. That if that were to happen, and this is and we've talked about this before, and I've talked about it on this program, conversations I've had with people who've said that their grand dream is that something like you've just described happens. Obama's assassinated, a congressman is shot down, something that will elicit a response from our government. They'll crack down. That's what these crazy right-wing groups want. That's what these militia groups want, so that they can say, see, look, the oppressive government's coming after us. We need to fight back. We need to water the tree of liberty with the blood of patriots or tyrants. And I'm telling you, it's scary stuff out there. And what's happened is these radical groups, these insane groups, are taking to the forefront. And now they got money, lots of money, from the corporate special interest. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Kirsten writes, there you go again, beating up on Sarah Palin. Leave her and her family alone. What if we went after your kids? Well, Kirsten, if you went after my kids, I'd wring your neck. I'd smack you upside the head. That's what I would do. I'd rip your heart out and feed it through your backside. I'm not the one putting my kids out there as part of my political future. I'm not the one who uses my kids as part of what makes me a governor. You know, if you put the kids out there, you say, well, you know, look at my family. Here we are. Vote for us. If that's your sales pitch, Kirsten, then you have to expect someone to look closely at what you're doing. And this most recent thing with her saying that, well, you know, Obama's going to kill my child, is just absolutely ludicrous. And under no means should she even be involved in this, involving her child in this. And what's amazing to me is that you never hear anybody blow back on this and say, you know what, Sarah, if you didn't have government health insurance, if you didn't have a husband who worked for a company represented by the United Steelworkers who provided good health insurance through his job, if you were one of the 47 to 50 million working people in this country with no health insurance, your child would probably have a lot more problems. You probably may have died anyway because of lack of health insurance. That's my problem, Kirsten. And nobody is advocating for what you guys are talking about. Nobody. Nobody is talking about killing granny. Nobody is talking about on-demand abortions at any time. Nobody's talking about that stuff except you. You keep saying the big lie over and over again, scaring people out of their wits, especially the elderly. They say, oh, they're going to take Social Security away and they're going to con you into killing yourself. That's what they're telling old people and seniors in this country. And it's just plain wrong. Anyway, let's move along.
If I can quickly comment, you missed a part of her comment. She was talking about her son, and he has some severe problems. And according to her, and these are her words, Rick, under Obama, you're going to have to go before the death committee. I mean, come on. That is so far-fetched and out of touch. But, you know, she's really, if possible, she's moving farther to the right than she was. An issue that we talked about at length. Town hall meetings. Rich Trumka has come out and said, look, he said, you know, that there's a health care reform on the table, and it's closer than ever to passage, and it's no secret that special interests want to weaken it. If you go to these town hall meetings, you'll find that a lot of people have basically the same feelings, though, especially those of us on our side who realize that health care reform has to come. We all realize that the U.S. health care system is badly broken, costs too much. The health insurance industry has far too much influence on how our health care is delivered, and too many people have no coverage at all. Now, there are going to be some town meetings here locally. It's going to be one in Lebanon on Tuesday, 9:30 at Hack. For those of you who know the area, it's on the main thoroughfare there on Cumberland Street at 7th and Cumberland. If you go, I would recommend this. You go early. If possible, you bring a sign so that you know there's a presence there and the senator knows there's a presence there. If possible, you talk to the press and please be civil. I know that can be difficult.
Let me ask you this. What's the difference between what this guy wrote in this memo and what you're talking about? You're talking about getting there early, have your signs dispersing throughout the crowd. What's the difference?
The difference is we're there to have a civil discourse. Civil discourse. If you looked at some of the very disturbing images, they obviously came there with one intent, to shout these stupid slogans, just say no, repeatedly, loudly, angrily. They didn't want a discourse. They wanted to shut the process down. That's the difference. Please be civil. We don't want to do what they did. The other side has a right to express their opinion. But at the same time, we want to make sure that the senator and those in attendance and the press, if possible, get our side. Now, if you can talk to the press, and I understand that there's going to be limited people that will talk to the press, emphasize this. We need a strong public health insurance plan. We need shared responsibility, including an employer. This is important. Pay or play provision, which means you either provide health care for your employers or you pay into a government system. Fair financing that does not tax health benefits, and there's some provisions coming out that are going to tax the most expensive Cadillac provisions, but unfortunately over the years, I think what would happen is that the average income earner would eventually be taxed. So you don't want to start. You don't want to open the door. Fair financing, as I said, that does not include health care benefits and an end to insurance company abuses. Now, we talk about health care.
Well, one of the things that I get from this is what worries me is that this is just going to be one of these situations where people are screaming at each other. So is the point for the representatives to see both sides screaming at each other to show them that there's something there? Because that's one of the things that, at this point, if you go and do what you say to do, go be civil, go sit and try and listen attentively, the other side, their goal is to disrupt it, to shut it down. So there's going to be none of that stuff that you're talking about.
First of all, Rick, I do believe that the congressmen and the senators are getting smarter, and I think there's going to be more security there. And two, if you get a chance, go up and speak your piece. Make your points. That's another issue.
Good point. They're
going to be asking who wants to speak. You're there to speak. This is America. This is a perfect forum. This is quintessential democracy.
Let's take a quick call. We got John on line one. How are you doing today, John?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm terrific. What can I do for you?
Well, I just wanted to let you know I agree with everything you and Jake are saying today. I agree with it all. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe in Christ. I trust him, as there are others that do too, I'm sure, that listen to your show. And I'm in your corner. If you really believe in the teachings, in the teachings of love and mercy and grace and forgiveness that Christ sets forth in his Sermon on the Mount and throughout the New Testament, I don't see how you can hold the attitudes that a lot of these right-wing extremists hold. How can you possibly hold them?
I have no idea. You know, Matthew 25 even, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing boggles my mind, this whole arguing of the prosperity gospel where it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No. Matthew 25, where Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me food, like you mentioned many times. I was thirsty, you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you took me in, and so forth. If you believe in that, and you really believe in what Christ taught, you would have to support any effort to help people with to get health care if they don't have it, or any other basic human need. And I'm so sick of the racism I hear. And as far as I'm concerned, the racism today is the same as it always was, basically. It's white racism.
Yep.
I have worked with many, many fine African Americans, and I have never, never picked up any hint of racism from them. And, you know, God knows they'd have a reason to be, although there's never a reason for racism. But I have always been treated with the utmost respect, kindness, goodness, friendship by Black Americans and, you know, other racial minorities. I have never, never picked up any kind of reverse racism. I think that whole concept of reverse racism is just a cover up for the same old-fashioned white racism that has always been. I think it's the white person that is the one who is usually racist. And I'm white, for better or for worse, I'm white. But I think it's white people that hold the racism. And you can see in some of these town hall meetings and in some of the movements that you've been talking about, these right-wing movements, a lot of that, I think, is a cover-up of racism.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. But, you know, going to your point that you've always been treated with respect.
Yeah.
My mother always said the respect that you give is the respect that you get.
Well, that's right.
And it comes back just down to being a good human being.
Yeah. And we're all brothers and sisters. I mean, people of every race and color, we're all in the same family. We have the same father, the same savior. We're all brothers and sisters. We should treat people with kindness and goodness. But the racism today is so subtle. Not all of it. Some of it's very blatant and outright. But more of it today is subtle and underhanded and tricky. And I'm sure if you talk to any African-American, which I'm sure you have, they will say that it's just as profound today as it ever was. It's just sometimes more covered up and more hidden and more sneaky.
Yep. As I talked about a couple of weeks ago, I had a friend, a black friend, who said, you know, I think I preferred it years ago because at least you knew who hated you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And it's all racism is wrong. I mean, but I really believe the white racism today is just as strong as it ever was. Well, at any rate, I agree with what you're saying. If you're a true follower of Christ, and I do want to say this. I voted for Obama. I like him. I support most of what he's doing. And I think anybody who thinks he can, in 7 months, clear up the economic mess that we have after it started, as you said many times, with Ronald Reagan, his deregulation, his cutting of all the programs that help people, he was one of the main problems, I feel. And it started back there, and it probably went right through many of the other administrations. How can anyone expect Obama to clear it all up in 7 months? Why would they even, I mean, you have to give the man time.
Yep, but you got to remember, John, we live in this McDonald's.